Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, you know, we were talking about spring and the nice weather.
Yes.
Well, Mother Nature earlier in the week.
Well, I know.
Slapped us.
It was nice, though. I mean, it was sunny. I was still selling houses.
It was sunny and 15 degrees
night. Okay. I will say I did sneak out to do Badger one night and slightly regretted that as I had frostbite on my face on the way down. So, as always, we have our in-house lending specialist also with us, Mike Denzel at Home Street. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, but somebody told me you're heading to warmer weather here soon.
I am. I'm going to sneak away to, of all things, we have a hockey tournament for the kids in Phoenix. So, I am going to sneak away and get a couple days in Phoenix. So, yes, it was 22, but it's probably a little better for me, you know. So, we go down there, and it's, 30 degrees in the rink, and then you walk outside, and it's 80. It's actually one of my favorite tournaments.
So, especially in February.
Yeah, especially that time. So good luck to the Tri-Cities teams and other local teams that are going to be out there. So that'll be pretty exciting. Well, speaking of Mike, of that and hockey, as you know, before we jump into our normal topic, we always like to do our crazy national real estate story.
And I remember your hockey rinks, the houses with hockey rinks from
houses
last
with
year.
Hockey rinks. So in doing the research for this week's show, and I will tell you, I am an Olympic geek out, like total nerd about that. Like I have a shirt I wear to watch the Olympics. I have an Olympic shirt. And so as I was researching that, I said, you know, there's got to be a real estate angle on what's going on with the Olympics. So
sure.
Did a little bit of research on that. And so our real estate angle on what's going on in the Olympics right now, and this is extremely interesting. So they're over there in Pyeongchang. And the interesting thing about that is the population is about 45,000 people in that county. Now, mind you, if you notice, they spent on the Olympic Stadium, if you watch the opening games, they spent $109 million on a 35,000-seat stadium. Now, if we do the math there, that's only 10,000 less seats than everybody in that entire town. So, Mike, okay, what do you think's going to happen to the stadium after the Olympics?
That's a very good question.
Well, in this world and age of hosting Olympics, it's likely a disposable stadium. They think it'll be used five times, and then they're going to demolish it. Tear it down.
Wow.
Because the maintenance costs ongoing for a stadium that they don't believe they can get any events or people to come to is going to be more than if they demolish it and leave the site.
Well, have you seen the pictures of the ski jump area?
Right.
Before the snow? The landing area is actually a soccer field, which they're going to continue to use.
Yeah, so it is really, really interesting. So a little bit of history when you look back there. People that have made some better financial choices, but they had options. For instance, Centennial Stadium was built in 96 in Atlanta. That, after the 96 Summer Olympics, was converted to the Atlanta Braves, who then used that stadium for the next 20 years.
We're good at recycling here.
We're
good.
Montreal Expo.
Yes.
Before they moved to Washington.
Montreal, absolutely. So other Olympic sites, though, some have been converted to rinks for permanent private teams, some hockey teams. They're considering that in Pyeongchang having a corporate hockey team that bases out of there because the facility is so nice. So there could be like a world development team or something like that that bases out of there. So really interesting to see, though, the economics of that. I don't know, $109 million used four times and tear down. Maybe I'm cheap, but I'm struggling with that a little bit. So there's your crazy worldly real estate story of this week with the Olympics on it.
You should put in a bid.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if my expertise extends over there. So I'll let you work that up, McKay, and send it over to me.
Got it.
So as you guys know, we always like to take what is happening in the local real estate market, trends, what we see going on, and bring those topics to the show. And anytime that we can get an expert on the show to help us with some of those questions, we love to do that. So one of the things we do is we have a quarterly magazine that goes out, a digital magazine that goes out to our readership. And the last magazine that we had, the last issue that went out, we had featured a family on a house we had sold, and the pictures were absolutely gorgeous. And we do have a great photographer on staff, Jordan, who does an amazing job. But I was like, you know, these are extra awesome. And so Jordan's like, well, that's because Tracy Bedard did the design in the house, and it made everything look that much better. So I've invited with us today special guest star. We have Tracy Bedard with Making Your House a Home. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad
to
be here.
So that's a big element. You know, it wasn't by accident that those pictures look so good. I mean, they're a great looking family, so that's awesome.
Yes.
Too. But when everything comes together and you have a professional dealing with an eye for design, it makes that whole package look better. So before we jump into your business as a whole, Making Your House a Home, give us a little bit of background. How'd you end up in Tri-Cities, Tracy? What's the background on you?
Well, actually, I was born in Pendleton, and I moved here when I was 7, so I'm pretty much a Tri-Cities girl.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I did move to Seattle for 7 years. My husband and I just kind of wanted to live the city life and enjoy that before we had kids. And I actually got a lot of good exposure to interior design and whatnot when I lived there. And I worked at a flower shop, and I learned color and balance and how to put things together. And I also took a few classes on interior design and owning a business. And so I learned a lot when I was there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good. And so you mentioned family.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your family.
I've been married since 2000, and I have 2 little girls, an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's busy.
Yes, very busy.
Okay, fantastic. Great. So tell us a little bit about Making Your House a Home. What's that business?
So basically, I do a little bit of everything. I do staging, I do organizing, personal shopping, decorating, design. I will go in and help people pick out specs for their home that they're building and whatnot. So it kind of runs the gamut. I do a little bit of everything when it comes to your home.
Yeah, and I always thought that was, you know, very, very interesting. And one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on the show is there's been a lot of stats that have been done on this topic of, we'll call it staging, but on this topic of staging and design. And National Association of Realtors did a study where they canvassed the membership nationally of agents, and there were some great statistics that came out of that. One of them being that 49% of agents feel that home staging has an effect on most buyers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another 48% thinks that it has an effect on some buyers, but maybe not always. So you get a real split camp there. I mean, at least they're admitting that there was some reaction from staging. But when you have half of an industry saying that it has a positive effect on it, you got to kind of look into that. And the number one reason given from buyers is that it's easier to visualize property when it's staged. It's people have a hard time abstractly going into rooms. So now we're lucky because, Tracy, your brain must be one that works that way.
It goes a million miles an hour.
Okay, so that's great. So tell me a little bit about that. Like when you're staging a home for sale, mm-hmm. what are you focusing on? What's the big difference there?
So you want a home to feel welcoming, inviting, warm. You don't want it to be very cluttered, because you want to notice the features of the house. You want to play up the positive features of the house, and you kind of want to minimize any negative features of the house. Take, for example, you have a small laundry room. You don't want it cram-packed full of stuff. You want to get rid of baskets and cat food and trash cans and all that jazz and kind of leave it empty. And if you have a beautiful fireplace, for example, then you want to play up its features and you want to decorate it very nice and just kind of depersonalize, minimalize, declutter. You want to get rid of any family photos because you want the person to walk in and say, oh, this could be my home.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you see a family member on there, you're just curious. People are naturally drawn to other people.
Yes.
And so I've noticed if family photos are on the wall, immediately one or two members of the family is just staring at the family photos. And now they're not looking at the house.
Yeah, it definitely can be a distraction. Same thing goes for any kind of collectibles.
Okay.
Yeah, you want people to look at the house itself.
Yes.
But you also don't want it to feel empty. A vacant home can feel like echoey and empty, and it's hard to kind of visualize your own furniture and decor in the space. And so it's very important to, if any at all possible, when a person's selling the home, to leave the furniture in there while you're selling the home instead of remove everything, or get someone to come in and bring in furniture and decor.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, we're always trying to balance, you know, cost versus an ideal situation. And Tracy brings up a great point. When you walk into a house and it's completely vacant, even if the temperature's turned up, that's not how normal people live.
Right.
They're just, it's shocking, and they're not used to seeing that. And when you're doing something that you're not used to, you already now have a preconceived notion of what's going on. And we've had experience in the past. I mean, we've had sellers before that have had completely vacant homes. And we've had Tracy come in and do like minimal staging,
right.
like
mm-hmm.
a few things,
right.
like some towels and some plates. And then all of a sudden, two or three showings later, we've got an offer because now it's not a cold home.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the difference is what I love having Tracy on the show already, because this is the difference between her brain and our brains that I think makes this work. Is, Mike, we've been doing this show a couple of years, and I don't think we've ever said the words "all that jazz." But Tracy said those words, and I'm like, okay, this is why we have you come out, because I can't do what you do. And a lot of times sellers will ask us, and they'll be like, well, Lance, can you give us some suggestions? I can, but you know, my brain's really good at negotiating and pricing and navigating the pitfalls of what you're going to see.
Contracts.
And I just know within 2 minutes of talking to you that, you know, you have the artistic portion of that. What is the most difficult thing you do with home staging and working with sellers? Like, what do you see that's hard for sellers to do?
It's hard. You don't want to offend them in any way. A lot of people have a hard time taking down religious symbols or family photos. And they're leaving their home. I mean, even though that's their intention, it's hard to leave your home, you know, that you've lived in for even a year. You know, it's your home. And so you want it to feel like that up until the day you move.
Right.
And so getting people to do that sometimes is kind of iffy, but.
I would say I've experienced that from an agent standpoint also. And one of the things that we talk about is, you know, a lot of people, you know, they want to walk in the front door and they want to see a cross. And I can take those and interchange it with, you know, Buddha or whatever symbol or the Star of David. It doesn't matter. What I tell people is I say, well, you know, when someone walks in the front door, that's great. But do you want to make the other 30% of the population uncomfortable when they're standing in your foyer? And so, and I always argue that the last thing we want to do is when they step in the front door is give them an uncomfortable feeling for the rest of the showing.
Yeah.
So I love that device. And that is really hard because we're trying to get people to make an unemotional decision about that decor.
Right.
So, well, those are very, very good points. And I think one of the things, too, talk to me a little bit about the study. And I'm surprising you with this. I did not let her go over this ahead of time, so I apologize.
That's okay, because I've seen lots.
Okay, good. But the study says that the most important room that buyers have trouble visualizing is the living room. And I was surprised by that, but you're not.
I'm not because, well, furniture comes in all shapes and sizes, first of all, and everybody has different kinds of furniture. And a room can look big but feel small once you get furniture in it, or vice versa.
Right.
And a lot of people have had that experience where they go to buy furniture and they get it home and it doesn't fit like they expected it to. So they already know going in that that might be an issue. A lot of times I'll tell buyers, especially when they're – or just my clients when they're going to buy furniture, to use masking tape on the floors to kind of position where the furniture would be, and that will give them a better idea of where to place furniture and – how it will flow.
Oh, that is a great tip.
So we've used newspaper
before. Newspaper, but
yeah, and built out the shape.
So you take masking tape or newspaper, like you said, you build it out and you stick it in the room and then stand back and say, oh my gosh, is there any room left to walk by?
Because
you're exactly right. I've shown houses before where you're like, how can I get around that couch to even get into that room?
Exactly.
Well, if you're looking, like in our case, it was our basement. We're looking at a big L-shaped couch, and no matter what we did, we could not have enough room to get through, and it just didn't make sense to us, so we didn't buy one.
Right.
No, those are great, great tips. So, folks, today we've been talking to Tracy Bedard with Making Your House a Home. We've already gone over some great staging tips, some great design tips. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mike Denslow a little bit about what's going on in the lending world, and then talk to Tracy some more about what's going on in the design world and some of the things she does to help homeowners.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about home staging, design trends, just having a great time here today. Lots to talk about. But one of the things that it all comes down to is we're going to purchase these homes and we got to pay for them. So we always get Mike Denslow's take on how are we going to do that and what's the best way to do that in the financing world.
Well, yeah, that's where I step in. Lance, real quick, though. Tracy's got a really good voice for radio.
Yeah, AJ, I know. I'm thinking a recurring guest appearance is going to have to be coming on.
I've already got four jobs.
Coming on, Tracy. So, yeah, it took me a while to track her down. I think my assistant had to do some Facebook messaging to get her out of the houses she was staging. So,
well, and none of us are shy about talking. So if you want your pick three, we better, you know, get to that here not too long.
Well, we'll do that after you tell us how to pay for it.
Okay. So I was thinking about the things that Tracy does in renovation loans, custom construction loans, but basically anything new construction. And, you know, that's what we do a lot of. Scott Unger in our office is the renovation loan expert. He knows everything that goes into that. And that goes back to the whole HGTV. Oh, we found this house, but it's outdated and we want to buy it and we want to do all these things to it. Most of the time, that's a renovation loan. That's different than just buying a house. You know, you got to do a lot more things. So I would say I'll give you contact info for him at the end of the show so that he can be reached out to. And then custom homes. I mean, Tracy, we were talking about it during the break. You know, a lot of people, we want to build here, we want to build this, but are you really thinking about what the inside looks like? And do you have an expert? Maybe the builder doesn't have that specific expertise.
Right.
That's something that you like to do, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Color can make or break a home. You know, you don't want something that's too jarring. And also, a lot of people are wanting to get away from the neutrals and do a few accent walls here and there. Tile, there's so many amazing tile options out there anymore. Flooring, and they have flooring now that's really inexpensive, but looks just like your expensive floor wood floors and whatnot. And it's waterproof. You know, there's just so many amazing options out there, but people can have a difficult time putting it all together, puzzling it all together, and making sure everything kind of has a nice flow and goes together.
Yeah, absolutely. Flow is the word that I used when we built our home years ago. I wanted you to walk in and just, you know, it made sense. So, yeah, custom construction loans, renovation loans. And then if you're building with a production builder and, you know, you're pretty much going to start here and you know when it's going to end, those long-term builder locks that we talk about that we do that protects you against rates going up during construction. We have a flow down at the end. So mainly it's just communication, talking about the plan, talking about the team, right? Pulling the team together and figuring out the best way to do it.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things people don't realize sometimes is how difficult some of that process can be. You don't know what you don't know.
Well, you think you might know enough, but then you don't know the options. My big thing is educating. I want you to know why I'm recommending a certain thing over another. You know, if you're putting 5% down, our only option is to pay the mortgage insurance until we pay it down to 80%. No, you can buy it out. You can do lender paid. You can do, really? No one's ever explained that to me. I hear that all the time.
Okay, good information. I always encourage everybody to get with Mike and his team over there and help put those solutions together. We were talking inventory, Mike, and I know that it's still low and there's more buyers out there than we have houses. Real quick, we've got some great new inventory. 6312 Turf Paradise in Pasco. This is a 3-bed, 2-bath stucco rambler. Great views. Hardwood flooring, 1787 square feet, and that's coming in priced at $289.9, and that's in that price point that is just flying right now, so I don't expect that one to be around too much. Over in Westcliff in South Richland, 1301 Ala Vista, up there kind of where you go up to the park there if you're going doing your Badger Mountain hike up there. This is a 3-bedroom, 3-bath on the corner, completely custom, 3,428 square foot house, beautiful bamboo floors, formal dining, office, half bath off the entry, stunning dual-sided fireplace, really high-end custom home, and that's coming in at $535. And then my pick three is 6113 West 20th in Kennewick. It's another 3-bed, 2-bath, great home with a view in West Kennewick. 1902 square feet, vaulted ceilings, formal dining room and office, updated kitchen with granite counters, dialed in right in that sweet spot of $299.9. So my listing agents are going crazy right now. Lots of appointments. We're starting to get all those calls as we build up our spring inventory. So if you've struggled to find something, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We'd love to get you on our list as these new properties are coming up. And for folks thinking about putting their home on the market and being prepared to do that in the best possible light, I mean, that leads us right back to you, Tracy. I mean, that's one of the things making your house a home that you specialize in doing is how does that work? Where do you start with a seller?
Well, the first thing I do is kind of look on the exterior of the home when I'm walking up. I want to make sure that there's all the dead weeds are gone and the door is like is dust free, and maybe there's some patio furniture out front. You just wanted to kind of have that great first impression when you walk up. You know, even a wreath on the door makes a huge difference. And then I kind of just go from there. The entryway, you want it to feel very inviting. So a entry table, a mirror is very nice, very feng shui is what they say, to have in the entryway. A lamp for some nice warm lighting. And then I kind of work counterclockwise throughout the house.
Okay.
Just it makes it easier for me to remember what I've seen. I go through the house and see everything that they have first, kind of take an inventory of that. And then I go back around and then work with the homeowner to make a list of things for them to do. Oftentimes I will help them, especially if they're older. I'll kind of get involved physically, moving furniture and things like that. But I also look at details that when you're a homeowner, you don't really look for yourself. Like vents. You want the vents to be clean. You want no spider webs. You want all the lights to be working, the a new filter. And you know, people, when potential buyers walk through the house, they're looking for flaws. And so they're looking at the ceiling. They're looking at the floor. They're looking at details that we don't normally see, you know, living in the home. So you want it to be very clean. Sometimes I will tell them, you know, maybe get someone in here to do a nice deep clean on the house. And then we kind of just work from there, getting things decluttered. And, you know, I even work on the garage. The garage, you kind of want it to be nice and clean. And that's a hard one because a lot of people tend to store stuff in the garage. And, you know, if you have a place like a little storage unit, you can put some things. That's great. Or if someone will put them in their house for you for the time being, that's great because you want to be able to park your cars in there.
Tracy, you sound like Lance.
You sound, yes, you and I are like kindred spirits with this stuff.
Yeah.
I even tell them, I'm like, if you have cars parked in the garage, if you know someone's coming for a showing, move them out of the garage, put them around the block.
Yeah.
I mean, you want people to open that door and say, wow, look at this big garage.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, no, you're awesome.
I don't know if you could see it, but Lance was looking at me smiling the whole time.
I get so excited about this topic, and Tracy, it just hits the nail on the head, and that's great. So when sellers do that, is this an hourly cost? Is this a consultation? How does that work? I always get that question.
I will say that typically it takes 1 to 3 hours.
1 to 3 hours.
Yeah,
okay,
3 hours.
Great. And so you can help, people can call you and then get an estimate for what that will be.
Yeah, and so 1 hour is just, I just charge $100 for 1 hour.
Great.
And that usually involves me giving them a list of things to do. And if it goes beyond that, it's usually me helping them.
Absolutely.
Rehang things and move things around. And stuff.
Well, and I think that's one of the beauty of what Tracy does. And I've seen her work in person and on different houses and with different homeowners is, and even from a decorating standpoint, let's just say you're tired of your current situation, but you're not sure how to change it, is you'll go in and work with what the people have.
Oh, yeah. That's the best
part. And then
part.
Just accent it with a couple new things so you're not totally breaking the bank. I think a lot of people are fearful to call someone like you because they think they're going to have to spend $6,000 to get all new furniture. But the way I've seen you work, that's rarely the situation.
No, you'd be surprised how much I find, like, put away in closets and beautiful pillows and pictures and stuff like that that people never hung up and they forgot about. And just like giving a fresh perspective, you know, coming in with fresh eyes and being able to visualize things in a different way is kind of my strong point. I started out working with things that you already have. I diversified since then, but that's kind of my forte. It's what I love doing is working with what you have. I love to save people money. I'm not one of those interior decorators that say, let's go to Ennis Furniture and spend $20,000. You know, I'm actually the opposite of that. I'm very frugal myself. My grandma taught me how to pinch pennies, and I respect saving money whenever possible.
Well, Tracy, that's always apparent in all the work you've done. And I know Kenmore team, we really appreciate working with you in that capacity. And, you know, all the jobs you've ever done for us have turned out exactly like she's describing. And it's really refreshing. And it also makes it possible for a lot of folks. And so I would even say with spring coming up and for people out there, if you really, guys, if you really want to shock your wives, because we don't know anything about this stuff, and I'm talking about me personally, some guys do, but I don't. You call Tracy and hire her to come on spring break and a couple $100, rearrange some furniture and add some stuff, and I think that'll make your summer with your wife pretty good. So that's just an example, Tracy.
You don't even have to be
like
selling your house necessarily to
her. Right. I do speak from experience for sure. Well, those are great tips. Real quick, as we run out of time here, please explain this to me. Brass, I'm seeing Brass back.
Yes. Yes.
No, Brass is not coming back, is
well,
it?
I think it'll grow on you. It's a different kind of brass, first of all. A lot of it's brushed brass.
Okay.
It's a different finish on it.
Right.
It's not shiny.
Oh, okay. It's brushed brass.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Brushed brass.
What
yeah.
else should we look for? Real quick, we have about a minute.
Okay.
What's hot right now other than this new
modern,
brass?
All the way. Minimalistic, mid-century modern, bohemian chic, lush, rich colors.
Okay.
Live plants are coming back into style, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Well,
which is bad for me because I can't keep a plant alive.
Okay. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for coming today, sharing your knowledge with us in the home process, making your house a home. People can always go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot me a message, and I'll make sure you get to Tracy. But Tracy, what is the best place for people to get a hold of you?
My phone number is 509-591-5355. You can reach me on Facebook, or you can reach me at makingyourhouseyourhome@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. And Mike, contact info for you on those construction loans?
572-3651.
All right, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.